Welcome to the Brian Beebe Half Hour Variety Hour. It's really 15 minutes of fun, music, and laughter stretched out into something much, much longer. And now, here's your host, Brian Beebe.
I was working in the lab late one night, but my eye beheld an eerie sight. A monster from my slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he did the mess. Oh no, now they're going to want to hear that instead of me. I don't blame him anyway. Hey, it's Brian Beebe, and we're live again on Facebook and on MadisonTalks.com, and we're brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill, and all over the state, six locations all over the state, and growing, and Sorrento's at the Wilderness up at the great big 700-room Wilderness Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Two indoor water parks, an outdoor water park, 27 holes of championship golf. I'm telling you this because a three-day getaway to the wilderness in the heart of the winter, January, late January, early February, even late February, is a great thing to be planning right now for you, your family. Because, first of all, when the winter gets long, if you can't afford to go to Florida, you can afford to come to the Dells. And the Dells, if you haven't been here for 30 years, like many of you haven't, it has changed. There's so many indoor water parks that you can take your family to. And you think, okay, here's what the situation is with these indoor water parks. And you tell me if you can't afford to come, okay? You got a family of five, right? And you come up to the wilderness, and let's say your room is $300 for a night. But all five of you get passes to the water park which worth $40 a piece. That brings your room down to $100. You know, you got a room that fits all of you, and water park passes in the middle of the winter. It's a great deal. When I first saw these indoor water parks coming, I thought to myself, you know what? Only the rich people can come and afford $300 a night for rooms. But when you look at it like that, and everybody gets to use the water park, let's say the water park is a $35 value, and it's only $175 off your bill, then the room's $125. I mean, it's not. You should check it out. Go to Dells.com or thewildernessresort.com, Wilderness Territory, I think it's called, and then plan to get up there. And when you're up there, come to Sorrento's for your pizza and your Italian food and live music at the piano bar with Brian Beebe. Now, did I say enough about that? Yeah. This is Karen, too, from Michigan. She is my in-studio guest, but she probably won't say much. Look at her. She wants to be on camera, but she don't want to say much. I understand that. But anyway, there's things in the news. This is MadisonTalks.com, and the phone number here, we'd like you to call in, is 608-210-1667. Please call in. I mean, I put a sport coat on. There's no... We wanted you to call in. Mitch Hank has been wearing a sports coat on his show, and so I figured that I probably should too.
Pretty snazzy.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a snazzy coat. It will be when we replace the buttons.
Ah.
I shouldn't have said that. But anyway, turn your head and look the other way just for a second as I drink this sludge. I got the keyboard here for any requests you might have. I'm going to toss out a few subjects that we might talk about before we get going, and then call up and talk about anything you want. It's kind of an open mic's show every time I appear here, and we'd like to talk to you if you have questions or comments about anything we're doing or not doing. Let's hear from you. I have actual kind of a plan here. Imagine that, Mike.
This is new.
Yeah, this is new. We heard on the radio on the way down here that George Young died. Do you know who George Young is? Mm-hmm. He was a founding member of a group called the Easy Beats that did in the 60s that did Friday on My Mind.
Okay.
Now, he's famous for that, but he's also famous for being Angus and Malcolm Young's father. And the writer of many of the hit songs for AC/DC. Yeah. Malcolm and Angus Young are founding members of AC/DC, which that band actually got bigger and more famous and more successful than the Easy Beats.
A little.
Yeah. Just a little bit more successful than the Easy Beats. You know who else passed, though? Robert Guillaume, who was Benson on TV, and Fats Domino.
Yeah, I saw Fats Domino earlier today.
Robert Guillaume and Fats Domino were 89 years old apiece. George Young was only 70. Mm. We thought that was a little funny. But anyway, because his sons are almost 70. You know what I mean? AC/DC, those guys are 70, aren't they? No. No, they're not, but almost. Anyway, that's the news bits. And but also, we were talking about the birds. Remember last year, we talked about, we didn't know where birds go to die. Where do the carcasses land? Where are they? When a bird falls out of the sky dead, or where does it die? If it doesn't fall out of the sky dead, where does it die? We don't see dead birds.
Something eats it.
Something eats it.
Yeah.
It head to tail. Doesn't leave the beak, the feathers, nothing. They swallow it whole. Mm-hmm. Every bird.
Sure. Possum.
No, I don't think so. Mike, nice try. And I've heard that theory that something eats it. But it doesn't leave the fact that, let's say a possum is now on its third bird. It ate two.
Yeah.
It ate two already. He's not hungry enough to eat a whole third bird.
No more bird.
So there's got to be beak and feet, doesn't there? They got to leave the beak and the feet.
Well, the owls, they don't.
Then they swoop down and take the remains.
Yeah,
I know. The possum eats part of it. They got to deal with the owls.
Teamwork.
Yeah. The bird, let's talk about that. If you got an answer to where the birds go to die, I want to hear it, because I'm not satisfied with the being eaten. But the other thing I was, you see nowadays, not this time of year, you look at any telephone wire and you'll see 100 birds strung out just this far apart on a telephone wire. You know why they're this far apart? They have room for their wings to spread.
Oh, yeah, sure.
But they're perfectly evenly spaced on these telephone wires. And then one of them, not each one, but one of them will get up. The right one will get up and fly away, and they all fly away. And then they go up in the sky, and you see an actual cloud of birds. And the cloud goes
right
all together, not one bird or two birds. And then a few catch up, and they go around the corner, and, hey, wait, hold on, guys. No, tight formation.
Yeah.
How do they do it?
That's mystery of nature. That's a good one.
Yeah, you know, I got a feeling maybe, and it just popped into my head, maybe we have been visited by aliens, and they are birds.
Oh, the birds.
The birds could be aliens.
Well, fish do that too, though.
Yeah.
Man.
What do they know that we don't know?
Yeah.
We can't do that. Even if we're taught by years of service in the military, we can't do it exactly right. And it's amazing to me. I'm amazed by a lot of stuff, but that's pretty amazing to me. we talked about, we were going to just mention, I was out at Wild Rose Ranch in Baraboo for a little bit of charity music. And the guy right before we played was talked about bees. He talked about managing a hive. And he doesn't actually sell or rent you a hive, but he can. He has all the beekeeping equipment and whatever you need to be a successful beekeeper. And I've thought about having bees because I live in the country, and I've heard that bees are endangered. And honeybees in particular are important that we don't lose them because they germinate a lot of crops. They do pollinate a lot of flowers and crops. And if we lose them, there's nothing to replace them in nature. So, but he said, and I did ask him about, is there some place that would give you the hives or rent you the hives, and then they would come out and clean the box out and take the honey and sell it, so you don't have to. I want to do something for the bees, but I don't necessarily want to be in the honey business.
Don't want to be the keeper, huh?
Yeah, yeah, and I guess that's okay. But wasn't a rumor, tell me, wasn't a rumor that bees were being endangered by cell towers
right.
and cell phones and stuff? Well, this guy that was this expert on bees said that it's a lot easier to sue a huge cell phone company than it is to sue a mite, which is a tiny little bug that gets in a bee colony during gestation periods and kills the bees. It's not at all about cell phones or cell towers. And that was a relief to me. But he said, Asian bees have a longer gestation period or shorter. Was it longer or shorter?
I don't remember.
And they don't get this problem. Asian honeybees don't get killed by the
mites.
By the mites.
Yeah.
But European and American ones do. So they're working on it. My friend Paul West is a doctor in chemistry at the UW, and I have a friend that's a former science teacher. I hope one of those guys that's listening and can call in and help us out. But Dr. Paul West is also a keyboard player in a fabulous band called the Head Shrinkers. No, what are they called? The Retrospects. And my friend Kurt Quickle plays in that band. Kurt is joining me at Sorrento's this weekend, Saturday night. If you like what I do and you were thinking about coming Saturday night, you have to come now because he makes what I do sound a heck of a lot better. Mike, you would love it. But you're not coming. I know you just don't. Mike Brockenfeld, our engineer in the control room, he's a musician. He's a music fan. You think I can get him to come up and hear me play? No.
I'm out there. I'm around.
Yeah. Not up in the Dells, apparently. A year. I'm coming up on a year I've been podcasting, and he has yet to come and hear me up in the Dells. But that's okay.
It'll happen.
He does other things that are equally interesting.
Weird.
Yeah. Right. And the sound effects and the Vincent Price laugh, you know, those are priceless. They're very, very, very...
get it. Yeah.
Vincent Price, you get it?
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Those are priceless. They're valuable to my show. And they... Ba-da-bum. Oh, yeah. Well, that's going to be for after one of the Halloween jokes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
for sure.
I might have to repeat a Halloween joke from that. What do you call two witches that live together? Broom mates. Sorry, the laugh made it. You got that right, boy. We're talking about a number of things today. we're going to take a break here and come back, and I want to. We're going to talk about Dr. Evermore over in Baraboo, or between by Sauk, by Badger Ordnance. We tried to go over there today, and they were closed. But I've been there. The American Pickers have been there, and soon Karen will be there. And we're going to talk about podcasting itself. We're going to talk about Zeno and Joe up at Monk's. And we're taking your requests. Please call in 210-1667. I learned that when I was we're out.
MadisonTalks.com is the home of Madison's most creative talk radio. If you have a serious gift of gab, you have stories to share, political, social, or religious positions to express, contact Madison Talks to have your own 60-minute weekly podcast recorded and posted for the world to hear. Have a new book to promote? Madison Talks is the ideal place to promote it. Fly solo or line up guests for your weekly live talk session. When your 60-minute program is finished live streaming, it'll be posted as a podcast to MadisonTalks.com for listening 24/7. Take your message to the world with MadisonTalks.com. Call 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. That's 608-210-1667 or visit MadisonTalks.com. MadisonTalks.com, looking for your creative commentary. You're listening to MadisonTalks.com, stimulating conversation on a variety of subjects and issues that matter. Share your questions, comments, or answers with us at 608-210-1667. Now here's your host on MadisonTalks.com.
Call in with your request. It's Brian Beebe on MadisonTalks.com, and I'm only doing this with the chair. I'm constantly dancing around in this chair because there's so many cords at my feet, and I'm running over them with my roller chair. But anyway, we talked about the birds, the bees, the Wild Rose Ranch. I was just going to mention we were out there for an autistic children's benefit, the Hotown thing, Sunday, and I'd never been there before, and if you haven't, it's just outside of Baraboo, kind of town down between Baraboo and Merrimack, closer to Baraboo. But, gee, it's a beautiful log. Used to be a paddock, an actual working horse ranch. And the horses are still there, but the actual paddock has been revamped and turned into this incredible venue for weddings and meetings and stuff. Wild Rose Ranch, it was impressive. Lots of ground. And it was a terrible, wet, gloomy day Sunday. But we saw, and there were people there. They had a bar in it, with a Packer game on. And all the little horse stalls each had a vendor, selling potions and jewelry and food. And up and down the middle of the thing, too.
Got some good potions.
So, yeah. It was really cool.
That's cool.
But
cool.
Awesome. We didn't get any potions.
No potions?
No. Or herbs or anything that you'd be interested in, Mike. Nothing. But it was a beautiful place. And, of course, they put us outside. We were under a thing, but it was outside. And it was 40 degrees and rainy outside. So our crowd was limited. It was during the Packer game, and they had a pie walk, and little kids on horse on fake toy horses racing.
Oh, nice! Yeah.
So where do you think their moms were?
Not watching to us. You. No. Unfortunately.
Yeah. So we had fun anyway.
It was fun,
and we didn't have to stay very long. Staying very long would have made that very tough. Anyway, it's the 25th of, what is it, October already. That means Christmas has already started in Walmart.
Pretty much.
Weeks ago, man. I wanted to tell you some about Dr. Evermore. Out in the country, across from the old Badger Ordnance plant. You know where that was? They have taken, this is another story, but they have taken an ammunition plant that was the size of another Baraboo. It was the size of a city. On the other side of the bluffs from Baraboo, and it spread out for miles, okay? Yeah. And it was where they made bombs and bullets for World War II, Korea, and Vietnam. They closed it in 71. But it has tunnels underground and bunkers and tunnels into the Baraboo Bluffs, and it was just an incredible place. They took 2 miles of Highway 12 right in front of this place and made sure that it was straight when they built it, so if they had to land airplanes in front of this place.
All right, yeah.
And during the wartime. But it was an enormous, god-awful, impressive piece of work, this Badger Ordnance, and now it looks like raw prairie, like nothing was ever there.
Huh.
They were required by law to turn it back to whoever owned it, to turn it back to natural state.
Interesting.
And there was a rumor that the Ho-Chunks were going to actually have buffalo grazing there, and really back to natural. But across the street from this place is a Delaney's Surplus. Everybody knows where Delaney's Surplus is. You go there and you can buy a crescent wrench from here to the wall. And you can buy chain that each link is this big, you know. And everything from jeans to food products are at Surplus. Anything that they can get like a truckload of cheap, and they'll throw it in that store and sell it, okay? And I'd been there for years. It's a family business, been there for years. And at some point, a guy named Tom Every, his name is Tom Every, like every man, was working at with Alex Jordan, turning the House on a Rock into a fantastic array of really striking sights, okay? But he and Alex got an argument or something. He left the House on a Rock, and while he was drifting around, he came over by Delaney's for some reason. And they have all this junk, all these odd pieces of metal and industrial blades and screws this big, you know, and faucets like this that you might turn, you know, pressures. And so he looked at it and he saw art. And so he talked Delaney into letting him have a piece of land next to Delaney's. And he started creating this stuff. And some of his creations, all made out of junk, he's a welder by trade, but he took all this stuff and made sculptures, and those of you who have been there, you know how impressive it is. Four stories tall, some of them, and they're futuristic space, like huge telescope-sized guns, you know, and anything that he could make into something. There's a bird band. These birds are 7 feet tall, and their bodies will be a euphonium,
oh, cool,
or a tuba, or a saxophone, and their feathers will be blades, like from an industrial cutting machine of some kind, you know. And their eyes and their beaks are truck horns, you know, anything like that. But he can. It's whimsical.
Yeah, sounds awesome.
Fantastic, and You go there for free, Mike. You go. You can't see it from the highway. You can't even see it from mm-hmm. Delaney's. Mm-mm. So you have to know it's there to go there. And once you go into Delaney's and pull in and park, you can walk back there.
Okay.
Yeah. They don't mind you walking back there. Tom Every is now in a nursing home, and his stuff has been there, you know, for 30 years and rusting away and stuff. You got to go see it soon. His wife, Lady Eleanor, is on property when you go. And she gives classes on creating and painting some of this stuff. And she has written a book and about the whole thing. And you can buy that stuff. You can donate. You sign the guest book. She's always there. She actually lives inside, her office is inside, an old Tommy Bartlett water show bus that's there. It's a big, fat, blown-up looking one of these buses that looks like it was bumped up with air,
cool.
You know, 30 years ago. And that's her office. And there still is classes going on, because Tom Every taught a lot of young people how to do what he does. And the students were responsible for a lot of the stuff that he didn't make, and or he helped him make some of these huge, incredible things. And on top of that, the American Pickers show. Have you ever seen the American Pickers mm-hmm. on History Channel?
Yep, yep.
It's Mike Wolf and Frank Fritz in their van with Danielle Colby sending them leads all over the country. They go and they go into these ratty, dirty, dusty old buildings and barns and sift through the junk of hoarders like you can't believe, you know, but people that have stuffed things into their attics and their storage sheds and forgotten about them for 25 or 30 years. It's a fascinating show that we can't get enough of. We record it and watch them, then we leave those recordings on there, and a couple months later we forgot.
Oh yeah.
So we go back and look at them
again. Hey,
they're new again.
You learn a lot from them.
You can learn about what you learn mostly is that you don't know much about anything.
Because these guys do. Yeah.
Those guys know that that this piece of metal or the a rusty old tin light that looks like it would be worth 50 cents to you is worth $125.
Yeah.
It's a motorcycle. It's an Indian motorcycle headlight or something, you know. You don't know that when you look at it. And he knows what's selling and what things sell for. And they get these people down to, I wonder sometimes, Karen's a big fan of the show too, sometimes if he takes somebody down from what they asked, like $600, and he says, I think it could probably, I'll offer you $200. Yeah, they settle about $250. Now, at some point in the show, when it airs later on, he says, I bought the fork thing for $250. I'm going to ask $600 for it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I mean, the guy asked $600 for it, but he told him it was worth $250. So, I mean, I think that some of the people that are on the show, I don't know if they have to sign a waiver that they won't come after these guys for talking them down so good or what, but you know what I mean? It's the stuff is, it's fascinating. And they, my point was, they came and picked Dr. Evermore's, what do they call it, art park. Uh-huh. He calls it an art park. And they were there, and they were climbing up on these 3 and 4 story. If you can find this episode of the American Pickers, they climbed up on some of these huge sculptures, and they were just knocked out. Never seen anything like it, and you haven't either, unless you've been to Dr. Evermore's art park. So that, if that's not on your calendar before winter comes, get over there. They're closed Tuesday and Wednesday. Mm-hmm. But go over there, because before the snow flies, you have to go. Or you got to wait till next year, and who knows. There was talk of moving this park to the Dells or someplace and trying. They tried to take it across the street to the Badger Ordnance land. Mm. But this stuff, when you see it, you'll understand what I'm talking about. It's a fantasy to think that you could take it all apart, put it to get back together, right? And first of all, some of it's, you know, rusting. It's been out in the elements for 30-some years.
Yeah.
It's not, it's going to crumble in the hands of whoever tries to take it apart, you know? And it just wouldn't be the same. So things and people are of their time, and this place is of its time, and I think its time is rapidly going. But go over and see it. And it's behind Delaney's, right across from the old Badger Ordnance plant. I'd much rather talk about Dr. Evermore and his place than the windmills. I even talked about it longer than I talked about the birds.
Yeah.
The dead birds.
Yeah.
The dead birds, it's hard to talk a long time about dead birds. Even if they are. Huh?
We did pretty good.
Yeah. Even if they are food for weasels and owls, you know. Yeah. That's a good thing, that the owls are being nourished by the starlings. I don't know.
All that's right in the world.
Sounds like cannibalistic a little bit.
Yeah.
Isn't it? The owls eating other birds?
It's a little weird.
How do you feel about the theory, Mike? You're a smart guy. That birds are evolved from dinosaurs.
I can see it, you know?
They have the same structure.
I'll subscribe to the Jurassic Park theory.
Yeah, birds. The Jurassic Park theory is another story altogether. But I think that the possibility of a Tyrannosaurus rex being an ancient relative of a bird.
The chickadee?
A chickadee, a robin, a blackbird, is a possibility. I don't know how they would have ever gotten so small, but they're so similar in a look and the way they move and the way they stand, that it's a possibility. And so then you wonder, why were there flying dinosaurs? And what happened to them? Did they become birds, or did they just die out? Or I don't know, they all died out. But I like the idea that birds could have been dinosaurs at one time, and that birds are fascinating to me. I wanted to talk a little bit, too, after the break. Mike has some pretty cool 60s music on disc. We were talking about one-hit wonders from the 60s and 70s 2 weeks ago, and we had some really cool songs. And nobody apparently wants to call in with a request. So, Karen, do you have any musical requests?
Something about birds.
Oh, there is a song by Neil Young called Birds. You know what? And it goes, lovers, there will be another one who'll hover over you beneath the sun. Tomorrow, see the things that never come today. It's way faster than it would be. When you see me fly away without you, shadow on the things you know. Feathers fall around you, will show you the way to go. It's over, it's over. How about this? Blackbird sing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly. You were only waiting for this moment to arrive. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see. All your life. Blackbird, there's lots of bird songs that are pretty. How about that? Bluebirds fly.
Oh, yeah.
Birds fly over the rainbow. Why then, oh, why can't I? Who's on the phone, man?
Stevie Ray.
Who? Stevie Ray who? Stevie Ray. Hello, Stevie Ray, man.
How are you? You know, they created an entire band around birds. Why don't you just do some of their stuff?
Oh, yeah. But
I'm sorry, they spelled it wrong.
Yeah, right, they did. They spelled it wrong. So
Yeah. Or maybe they spelled it wrong and everybody else is wrong. I don't know.
No, the band, the birds was very, very, those guys were clever. So they changed the spelling of it. Basically because everybody changed the spelling of their name back then, since the Beatles did, remember? The Beatles, the monkeys. Yeah, they all had to do it after that. The Beatles and the Byards. Were they Byards or birds? Byards.
I don't know. First time I saw it in print, I thought, okay, that's the birds. All right. I just accepted it because they wanted me to.
And do you know that their first, they called me up and told me they wanted you to accept it. They were kind of pissed at you.
Well, I didn't want to make waves at the time.
but no.
And waves, of course, is spelled W-A-Y-V-E.
W-A-Y-V-E, yes. did you know that I don't want to take you off your roll. You've got it going on here. But the birds in 1965 were their very first hit, which was anybody?
Tambourine Man.
Mr. Tambourine Man.
Oh, yeah. 1965 was the first American group to knock the Beatles out of a number one spot. Mr. Tambourine Man knocked a Beatles single off the top spot. Never been done. I don't think. I mean, I know that song got to be number one and the Beatles were pushed off, but I don't know that they were first.
It's still a sore spot with Paul and Ringo.
Yeah, it's a sore spot with me.
Yet today, they're still wincing over that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, how can you have that? American guys? Folk singers, for God's sakes? No. You know I hate folk music. I'm sorry. I just... Anytime somebody plays a song and insists that you sit still and listen to the words because they have super meaning and it tells this fabulous story, I just want to hit them more than once.
With
you know what I mean? With a what?
With a water balloon.
Yeah. Water balloon spelled W-A-Y-T-E-R. That's a waiter balloon, actually. A waiter balloon is a different thing altogether. Yeah. How are you, man? Stevie Ray Nelson.
Doing well.
Yeah.
I'm going to a rehearsal later on today. We've got a... Got a couple of gigs with a fill-in with another some friends of mine this weekend. So I'll be around the Adams, Oxford area.
Are there any musicians north of the Dells that aren't friends of yours?
That aren't what?
That aren't friends of yours? Everybody that plays anything up there north of the Dells and south of... Canada is a friend of yours, man.
No, it's a narrow band, I'm telling you. It is.
Is it, are they called the narrow band?
No. Although that would be a good one.
A narrow band. Kind of a, there's a wide band.
Yeah.
It's a technical
and then
we could
always change the spelling of that, too.
What is it, Mike? Just a minute.
We could always change the spelling and become a 60s group, and that would be great.
Wide band?
Yeah.
That'd be a YDE band.
Right.
What was your suggestion?
A notch filter.
A notch filter? That sounds like a good name for a band. Notch filter. I don't exactly know what that is, but it's a tech name. No, who is the band you're sitting in with?
Yeah, it's Quick Draw.
Quick Draw, and that's a country band. Do I know any of the guys in that band?
It's Craig Davidson and Ray Chambers, James Lau.
Oh, James
Jim Jankerson. Jim Jankerson is from the Rapids area. Great piano player. I'm filling in his place. And
Ray Chambers played with us a few times.
That's right. Yeah. Great drummer. Yeah,
he's a good, solid drummer. He's kind of a character. Got a cute wife though. And that's a plus for a drummer. He played with us a number of times. We used to play at that place in downtown New Lisbon. Was it Nisida or New Lisbon?
It was New Lisbon. It was
Alex.
Heroes and Legends.
Alex. Alex. No, I'm talking about
Oh, that was the Nasita. That's right. Nasita.
Alex, that was with a train. Yeah. There was a train that came up behind this building about 6 feet from the back of this bar. And that was loud as can be. When we were playing, you had to stop.
Yeah, yeah.
But the plus side was the house bought the whole place a shot or something when the train came by. Right, Stevie?
That's right, yeah.
Yeah.
It was a mystery. I think it was a mystery shot or some sort of.
No, you could have what you wanted, couldn't you?
I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Too many.
Why don't you remember?
Because you could have what you wanted.
Those days are gone anyway.
So I know you've reformed, yeah, or something, yeah, and that's got recovered and then reformed. That's what you did. And your wife is recovering. She's doing all right. She was
She was on oxygen for a while with the pneumonia.
Yeah. Yeah, but she's better, and she's still angry with you most of the time.
Well, yeah, either one thing or another.
Yeah,
comes home and all the kids want $15 an hour, and then she's doing their jobs and this and that, whatever.
Oh yeah, she's got to unload. She has a high pressure job. I know that. But
yeah,
I know
then my
this.
Blood pressure goes up as a result.
Right?
Like, well, that doesn't do any good.
That's why you always reach for the puppies before you reach for her, don't you? You reach for the doggies.
The dog has helped, yeah.
Yeah.
The dog has helped. He's laying at my feet right now, listening to me talking to you and like, what are you doing, Daddy?
Did you ever find that one that got away?
No, Joey. Joey sadly has gone either to another family or decided, as I've heard that some animals do, that they just go off to die.
Yeah,
and this may have happened. This may have happened.
You know what? We've discovered that birds do that. They go off to die. Have you been listening to the show?
I've been listening.
They
to the
go
show
off somewhere to be eaten by owls. That's what they do. And weasels. I don't know.
Junk art and birds.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Owls and weasels, I was, you know, I want to apologize because I made a bad joke about your dog leaving you a month or so ago when it happened. You remember that? I don't remember what I said.
It
was indelicate.
I must not have been offended. Don't worry about it.
It was indelicate. Anyway, I was going to talk, Stevie. I was going to talk a little bit about Zeno and Joe coming to. Monks next Saturday night, not this Saturday night, but next November 4th. You have, Zeno is the original lead singer with Cheap Trick, and you have played with him before, haven't you?
We have met several times. I think I've jammed, been in a situation where we played together. Yeah. And Zeno and Joe, if you haven't seen these two, it is amazing.
Yeah.
It is.
You and I, listen, I'm going to tell a story about you and I. Over in Oconomowoc, 10, 12 years ago, I was playing a little bit at the Olympia.
That's right.
And you went over and played at the Olympia in the bar where I played while I went and did the band thing. Remember, we did a big band thing. But afterwards, we went out and we went to a bar in Oconomowoc and saw Zeno and Tommy Graywolf of Brooks and Dunn and a girl fiddle player. Remember that show?
That was No Strings Attached.
No Strings
Attached.
Right. Yeah, I just wrote about that show and how incredible that Tommy Graywolf sounded. And I think Joe does just about as well, at least as well, maybe more.
Yeah, it's amazing what a person can do. To broaden out the sound of anything.
Volume,
that's kind of like what I've been trying to get into with just doing a solo thing as opposed to the acoustic singer, songwriter, whatever. Just wanted to be spread it out a little bit more, make it sound bigger. And Joe is doing that with his violin. It's amazing.
Did you read the thing I put in Facebook about him? Because it was kind of based on somebody that maybe was just going to see him for the first time, you know. And they're thinking, geez, there's only two guys up there. I paid, you know, $20 to get in. And it's only two guys. And then they start playing.
Right.
Yeah. And you realize
it's something else.
He plays it like a violin. He's not doing anything behind the back or behind his head or any of that stuff. You know, like, but the effects that he uses makes it sound like more than one violin at times, or a distortion guitar at times, keyboard.
Yeah, there are some octave things going on too, where it sounds like there are cellos, contrabasses going on.
Yeah,
and the voicings he's using is just spreads the entire sound out. Yeah. It sounds like a quartet at times.
And you know what? Zeno has to love the fact that Joe never says a word on stage. Don't you think that he probably likes that? I mean,
that's right. Yeah.
Joe is like Harpo Marx, man, or if they might be Penn and Teller, because he plays this huge. He plays his ass off, but he doesn't say a thing. Not to the crowd. He doesn't sing anything. It's just standing there. He's got four or five. I don't want to say that he drinks, but there's always four or five empty beer bottles around his feet, and an unlit cigarette hanging from his mouth. He's a concert master at the Skylight Opera Theater in Milwaukee, and he's the chairman of the string department of the Wisconsin Conservatory of Music for 20 years. He's been. Now you got to be serious about your music to do that, don't you? Graduated with a music degree from Northwestern. I mean, the guy knows his stuff, but he drinks beer and smokes cigarettes and plays rock and roll.
Where did he go wrong, you think?
Well, it wasn't because he met us. It wasn't our fault. And he was that way before Zeno.
I don't even know him.
Yeah, he was that way before Zeno found him, too.
Yeah, he was like that when I got here.
Yeah. Yep, he was, man. Hey, you know what you should do, Stevie? You should. We've talked about you coming down here and being a guest on the show, in a studio guest.
Love to bring
a guitar, and I could play, and you could play, and or we could do Stevie and the Bee. You know, if you wanted to really get serious about it, I don't know. There's like close to a thousand people who watch these things when all is said and done. So, I mean, it wouldn't be bad for us to do. But you should do a podcast, too. You, with your radio background and all your funny stories and interesting stories, you could talk about Trilly Cole. You could talk about your experiences with Maggie May. And Heartland Country up there in Oxford. This is a world-class country, old-fashioned yodeling country kind of a band that Stevie plays in full-time.
Yeah, traditional country.
And then you're going to go down south with her. You and her do a duo all over Arizona and Texas, don't you?
Yeah, that's coming up in January, February.
Yeah, and that gets you out of our hair for a couple of months. You know, that's kind of nice.
Well, then you wind up missing me. And,
yeah.
You know,
and then calling those late-night phone calls. Late-night crying on the phone on those late-night calls, I know.
Brother.
But don't you
really think I believe that, like...
Don't you think you should do a podcast, though, and talk about this stuff? Tell us about your trip to Indiana just recently and your old buddy Trilly Cole.
Well, Trilly is a lady that I used to play guitar for and drums for in the 70s in Nashville. And she holds the record for the longest.
What is Trilly short for? Is that her name?
Her real name is Tarilla.
Tarilla.
Which is in itself unusual.
Very.
But people used to call her Trilly.
Yeah, very hillbilly name. Kind of
like Tilly with an R in it.
Yeah. And so you went down. You used to play with her in the 70s in Nashville. I knew that.
Yeah.
She took you on tour. You guys went out and stayed in motels and set up your equipment and took it down every night. Right?
Yeah. Well, she at one time had a five-piece band behind her, and we would do the fair circuit, and then our main club in Nashville was in Printer's Alley, the Captain's Table.
Yeah.
So and that was going on for quite a while. And I was 19 years old. So
I've seen pictures of you with your arms through under her arms. She played guitar and banjo really good. But then
you did some
things where you played or you picked and she fingered it, and it looked very intimate to me, Stevie. Was there a thing going on between the two of you on these long road trips?
No, her husband slash manager, no.
You had your hands right under her arms, sticking out in front of her, and playing the banjo or the guitar.
Well, I wasn't the only one that had done that. That was just part of the act, so I was told.
Oh. You were told that was part of the
act. If you're familiar with the listeners in the podcast, the Fender Duosonic guitar, rather a small guitar, and someone put a mandolin neck at like a 30-degree angle on the upper portion of the guitar, so it was sticking out that way. Yeah. And that was the act where I'd stand behind her, and I'd be playing the guitar, she'd play the mandolin, and then we'd switch one hand at a time. So I was fretting the mandolin, or fretting the guitar and playing the mandolin, and then switch back and forth and do that.
You could fret the guitar and play the mandolin?
Yeah.
Totally different tunings?
That's crazy.
You are a savant, man.
Can you still do it now?
Well, Trilly and I did do kind of resurrected the act, because with the technology it's out, I was able to do the one-man band. I was able to be the band.
Yeah.
So we did that again, 2006, something like that. It took a while. We would stand in front of a mirror, and all we did was didn't work.
You can't look at
you stand in front of a mirror, and that does not work.
You would look at your hands, it would be opposite of what you wanted, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Is that my left hand or my right hand? What is it? That would be tough. But
we did eventually get that back again once we got, okay, I have to write this down. Where is this thing? Okay, I got it.
Yeah. You know, Stevie and Mike is a guitar player, our studio engineer, and he's had an endorsement. He's had a special guitar built for him by Heritage Guitars. That's quite an honor, isn't it, Stevie?
Yeah, it is. It's a thrill.
Thousands of dollars.
Yeah,
you know?
Super cool.
Yeah. And
this wound up, Heritage used to be the Gibson factory in Kalamazoo, Michigan. 225 Parsons Street is a landmark. That's
up by
here. Not too far, no. Not too far.
How many, I shouldn't ask this because you might say thousands, how many people are endorsers of these guitars?
Well, there is quite a list for Heritage, and I'm very honored and flattered to be part of
it. And be good in good company, I'm sure.
But they sent me, I'm getting some pictures done that they want for their promotion stuff.
Hey,
I got the car in middle of September.
Yeah, I saw it. It was beautiful.
It is. It's gorgeous stuff.
Stevie, let's have a little fun. Can you turn up your radio so you got the delay? All right. I'm going to play You Are My Sunshine, and you sing along with the delay, okay? You ready?
No, I can't.
Come on.
I got my computer's in front of me.
All right, where can you hear the delay? Can you hear it anywhere?
The delay is like 30 seconds long.
All right, do it.
No.
Come on. Start singing it. I'll lower it down. You Are My Sunshine.
All right, hold on. I'm trying to hear you in that.
Okay.
You're serious about this, huh?
Yeah. Are you singing?
I'm trying to hear you in that.
Just sing it. I don't care if you can hear it.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy.
Oh, you're cheating.
With God.
You're not hearing the delay. Oh, dear, how much we love you. Yes, I wanted you to sing like 30 seconds off. But anyway.
No, because I turned down the computer.
Well, anyway, thanks for calling
in,
Steve.
It's nothing like a ballpark where you hear that
that I know, delay, the delay from the center field.
I was watching
center
an
field.
Interview with Geddy Lee from Rush, and he was singing the national anthem for Canada, and sang it very slowly because of the delay that was throwing him off a bit.
I did that in Bradenton at some spring training. I sang for the Pittsburgh Pirates, and it stood on home plate and said, "Oh, say can you?" And all of a sudden, from center field, "Oh, say can you?" So I did the Robin Gibb thing, and I'd listen to myself, you know, and forget about the. But it was louder than I was actually singing. Anyway, Stevie, you made my show, man. Once again, you always do. I owe you big time. Come out.
Oh, no problem.
Come on up to Sorrento's and let's have pizza and play old songs, man.
That sounds great. Love to do it.
All right, man. We're cutting out. Stevie Ray Nelson from up in Toma. Toma. He's got Toma Coast Studios. Toma Coast as a play on words for comatose. Studios up in Toma, Wisconsin, about 45 minutes north of the Dells, and he's been playing guitar with me for since he got back from Colorado in, I think, 2002, so 25 years at least, or 15 years, or something like that, 17 years, whatever the math is. But anyway, I'd like to say a thank you to Mike Brockevelt in the control room, my in-studio guest, Karen Rodebaugh from Michigan. And we wanted to talk about Life Leadership. Her program, her business is Life Leadership, and they're in the business of, look them up online, they're in the business of helping people find their way in their personal life and their financial life and life leadership. And we'll be back next Wednesday, kind of a fun surprise for you. And did we talk about everything? We did, didn't we? I wanted to talk about podcasting a little bit, but we didn't. But anyway, it's Brian Beebe brought to you by Monk's Bar and Grill at Sorrento's at the Wilderness. We'll see you next week.